Welcome to What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm Rob London. So, as Wire head to Wembley to sing along with Abide With Me, where are my two podcasting choir boys? Firstly, with the caveats of an operatic angel. Yes, no doubt, here with a rendition from his statistical hymn sheet, it's Sam Sankey.
Hello.
And also, he's our deep baritone tenor. And with the way he keeps betting on Dan Russell, he'll be lucky if he has a tenner left. Introducing Dennis Waywell.
All right.
You know, there isn't such a thing as a baritone tenor. They're two different things.
Oh,
Yeah, I
right.
know. My Meta glasses told me that when I was wearing them the other day. And
Oh, not these things. So
oh,
what have you bought
God.
Meta glasses for? What's the reason?
Well, I had a load of vouchers from the mother-in-law London for Christmas, so
No.
thought I'd treat myself. So, yeah.
Okay, so what's special about them? What are you using them for?
Well, mainly just taking, nice
Pictures
snapshots,
of people.
videos down the beach,
Oh,
down the
videos down the beach. Is this like, you did say that you actually got a black marker pen to dot out the
How
red
dare you? How
recording.
dare you tell people on the podcast that?
Oh dear. Sam, you've been away, and I think I know where you've been. What have you been doing?
Oh yes, I took a little trip down south for the week before I need to go. I spent a couple of nights at Henley upon Thames, rowing down the river.
Was the regatta on? No.
Oh
It's
no, it's
been
a
and
month
gone.
away yet.
Oh,
It's
still
a
on.
month away, yeah.
Okay.
They were setting up for it.
You couldn't be asked to go to the match then. That's basically what we're saying here, isn't it?
I couldn't. Well, I actually arranged it to be back on Saturday night to go to the game on Sunday, and then they moved it.
Okay, so it's not your fault. I've got a question for you before we get into the podcast. At the beginning of the season, there was all this big hoo-ha around this new screen around in the Halliwell Jones Stadium.
Oh
Big thing. No one's mentioned it since. Is it any good? What is it? Is it working?
It's working. It's a significant improvement on the previous one, but it's still just a screen in the corner. But it's a nice view for me from my seat, just diagonally
Right.
opposite the north stand. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
The tickets I bought us yesterday, Dennis, for the Ashes series, we were opposite
Yeah.
the big screen. We're opposite.
Excellent.
It's
Yeah.
slightly bigger than the one at the Halliwell Jones.
Is it? Oh,
Oh,
well, excellent.
have you sent the money through yet, by the way, for the tickets? Have you said you've had at least 12 hours?
Are we going on to the news round?
Before that, John Craven's news round.
Zane Musgrove's time at Warrington has come to an end. The club decided to cut ties with the forward following a disciplinary matter. Allegedly, Musgrove had a bust-up with a teammate, and the incident was deemed serious enough for his contract to be terminated. Musgrove had a similar altercation with a teammate in 2023 whilst playing for NRL side St George.
Have we got any gossip? Any gossip on this? Anything?
Just that I could now play the soundbite, if you like, of me saying 2 years ago when deciding that this would happen. But apart from that, I've got nothing else on it. So it's called a reference check.
Yeah. On the playing side, I don't know how to feel about underwhelmed, I guess, would be how I'd feel about Musgrove. When the few occasions that he seemed to play his best games, he was an asset to us on the pitch, but far too few occasions did that happen, and far too few minutes. He came on for 10 or 15 minutes and then went off again. So
Dennis, do you want to sort of have a stab in the dark what went on?
no, I don't really know what went on. I'll just leave that one there. I think it's probably the best thing.
And rumour has it Musgrove's place could soon be filled by second row forward Eli El Zakim, the The Lebanon international played 26 games for Castleford in 2024, but returned to Australia due to homesickness. He's currently playing in the New South Wales Cup for the Western Magpies, having previously played reserve grade for Canterbury Bulldogs, Parramatta, the Sydney Roosters and the North Sydney Bears. I think this one's gone a bit quiet now, has it, Sam? It's not quite
No.
As prominent as we thought a few days ago.
When I heard this, first of all, I had to look him up because I don't remember him playing for Castleford. And underwhelmed would be...
Again?
Would be, oh, very underwhelmed.
I thought he looks quite handy with the ball. I thought he looked like he had a bit of a something about
reverse
him.
Reverse pass every bit on of a that flick. Reel, yeah. Everything.
Yeah.
He might do. He might do, but he left Castleford due to homesickness and he's currently playing reserve grade.
But we've got the bungalow, Sam. We've got the bungalow.
Life in the bungalow can make you feel invincible. It ain't like life on Rodeo. If you like Tokyo and hate what's on the radio, come over to the bungalow. I'd like to show you around. Life is a prison if you live west of the 101.
There is a good point. Could I go to a barbecue there, maybe?
I just don't think we should be that cutting, Sam, but never mind. More than one journalist in, I can't remember who it was, but there was more than one British journalist that reported this story, and they all had him playing for the wrong side in Australia, because I went looking for it, and he was supposed to be playing up in the Queensland Cup, and it only took about a minute of research to find out he hadn't played any games there, and he'd actually been sent down to Sydney to play for the Western Magpies.
Life in the bungalow can make you feel invincible. It ain't like life on Rodeo.
It looks as though the new frontrunner to coach the Perth Bears is Kangaroo coach Mal Meninga, with both Sam Burgess and Brad Arthur set to miss out. However, there could still be a Warrington connection, with ex-Wire centre Matt King tipped to be Meninga's assistant. The NRL is now pushing for a swift appointment to give the club time to build its new squad.
He's obviously not going, and you know,
this is so flat tonight.
You know what though? This is exactly what we'll get into when we start talking about the games. To be honest, I've got some news. I've got some news round. Yeah, I'll pick it up a bit. Right, Hoover's sponsorship is due to end in 2025, and there's likely it could be a new shirt sponsor for 2026.
Ooh.
A spokesperson at the club said they're currently looking at some blue chip companies, and talks continue with leading brands in the trade and service industry. So I've just been doing a bit of research on some UK businesses. Sherlock Holmes, do you know what they do?
Investigate security cameras.
A locksmith, Sherlock Holmes, I think there. Jean-Claude Van Man. Do you know what he does?
Vans.
Delivery drivers.
Rental vans,
from Merseyside, that one. Bonnie Tyler, Gateshead.
He's a Tyler, roof Tyler.
Roofer.
Yeah, I think so. I need to check that.
Who's next? Dave Carpenter? And what are we doing? Nope. Are we doing them all?
Leaky. Well, all right. I'll go down to the bottom of my list. Big Baps in Paignton. You can imagine what they do. Yeah. This one's a good one. Granny Wobbly's Fudge Pantry in Cornwall.
Oh,
okay. Fancy going there? And one of my favourites is for coffee. For coffee, spelt F-U-C-K. So there you go.
Excellent. Did you see the cheese rolling championships?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Why don't we hurl all our scrum halves down it to see how they come out at the bottom? And then we it could be like the check before we actually sign them. Because
see whether they do the knees or their ankles.
Some of them are so brittle that go
down.
Did you see the girl who won that was running for refugees? My God.
Are you on about rolling the scrum ass down as the cheese
Yeah,
or to
even
chase
better.
the
Mo
cheese?
remove the cheese and roll our scrum halves down. Chase our scrum halves down the hill. But yeah. Anyway, okay. And finally, Ollie Leyland's season has ended abruptly with the halfback sustaining an LCL injury, ruling him out until 2026. We have a lot of injuries this year. Is that just down to bad luck? Is it down to signing a certain player who's too brittle to play at Super League level? Is it down to signing guys who are too old that have come with ailments before joining the club? What is it just bad luck?
I think it's bad luck. The only one perhaps is Fitzgibbon, who God, he's gone through the wars during his career.
What about Hayes and Leyland, though? Because neither of them are really have the physical attributes to play rugby league.
You mean because he's short?
Yeah, and it's a barbaric sport with men in the gym, hour after hour, sweating up.
Have you been there? Did you have your glasses on at this point?
Isn't there a lot to be said for signing a slightly bigger player that's a bit more robust these days? Is that not, you know?
Maybe, or is it the opposite? Are they not flexible enough? And they're too taut and tough.
This is awful. This is fucking awful.
Welsby's out for 16 weeks for St Helens, and Murphy's
Oh,
out
okay.
for
Well,
eight
that's
weeks for
some more
St
positive
Helens.
news.
What about the just I'm not put the topic in, but rugby concussion lawsuit has risen now to 1,100 former players. I
Bloody hell.
noticed the story was on the BBC website. Can I just say the BBC Sports website? I don't even get to see the rugby league. I have to go to other sports. It's not a tab along the top
No,
overseas.
no. You can save it as a preference. You do
Yes,
know that.
I've saved it as a preference, but just saying that for some reason rugby union is seen as a sport that you'd have on the top of your international BBC page, but not rugby league. And then all the pictures of the same of the story on both rugby union and rugby league is rugby union. Wouldn't someone at the BBC going, "Oi, can we have a rugby league picture up for the story on the
No,
rugby
then
league
they'd have
side?"
to do the work twice.
They'd have to actually go and generate another image, wouldn't they?
Yes.
But I mean, the saying that there's, you know, there's lack of care for the players. Josh Thewlis,
Yeah,
are we
yeah.
showing much care with Josh Thewlis when he gets knocked out every third week?
What's the care though? Because it's an unavoidable, part of the game, isn't it? And so we've talked about it before. You either have to stop playing when you've had so many concussions, and that's
Yes,
it.
yeah.
You know what I mean? So does it be over-regulation at that point?
I have read that somewhere and I can't bring it to mind the details. But again, I actually think, Rob, it was a rugby union thing they were talking about, regular scans, looking for any degeneration. And the moment anything flags up.
God, we're gone, aren't we? Three of us are gone. We're gone. Look at our.
And we've not played that. Just going back to Fitzgibbon though, one of the guys on the Watt Bevan panel group asked about Fitzgibbon. And I know you've said before, Rob, that compared to Curry, he's not played that many games. But I started looking to see how many games he had played. The answer so far is 28 out of a possible 50 for Warrington. And since he broke through properly at Newcastle, he played 67% of their games. But bloody hell, this guy's been through the. I stopped looking after I read about his dislocated elbow that then got blood clots. His shoulder surgery after dislocating that. Calf issues, head knocks, rib issues, knee medial ligaments, shoulder issue again when he came to us, another rib issue. This guy, at one point, I found an interview where he said, "I've done rehab 6 times now. So at the start of this season, I feel good." 6 times he's done full rehab.
Also, the 28 games he's played, he hasn't completed the games.
Some of them.
You know, he'll be going off injured in a fair few of those, I would expect. When we went away with school to Anglesey, I think it was Sam, Ian Hodgkinson hit me on the back of the head with a piece of slate, and my ear whistled for a week, and no one cared about me.
No one saw a duty of care for your concussion protocols, did they not?
Nothing at all. Right, should we get on to the Hull KR? Round 12.
Yes.
Team was Dufty, Josh Thewlis, Ty Wrench, Lindop, Ratchford, Leyland Yates, Crowther, Philbin Holroyd, Russell and Curry.
Sorry, but just so you
Yes.
can cut this in, but you should have got Bonnie Tyler in, shouldn't you, when you got it?
Interchange was Harrison, Wood, Whitehead and Hartill. Paul Vaughan was ruled out due to a calf strain. So, could Wire line up and get it up against Hull KR? Here's the highlights.
Namincella. Ney again. Lewis again. The step back on the inside, and this time there is a way through. Jack Broadbent.
Who's based on food now? Take it from Bogdan. He's perfect.
Curry now brings it across, and the fullback on the inside. Mincella misses, and Dan Russell over.
Swedish politics. Or maybe he's Australian. I never really listen when he's talking about himself.
But they still have a threat here. The bouncing ball, May throws it over the top, and it's an easy one for Tom Davis to finish. It's Mincella and May, and again good defending from Warrington to try and close things down, but Mikey Lewis escapes the escapologist.
Activities that involve the trade of rotten teeth of exotic breeds, especially is booked on my enemy. Does he want
the reach by Litton? Lewis is going again with a miss. A pass is a thing of beauty, and the finish might be special as well. Oh, and we break off from that because Mork now has a chance on the inside, and this will finish it. Tyrone May runs away.
Such a bitch. I seem like such a bitch. I seem like such a bitch.
And Curry, and here's Dufty, and Dufty with a little kick to the corner, and Thewlis gathers and finishes.
Because all my teeth are gone, my personality.
Scoring opportunity, and here is Iku, and Davis will win it. Tom Davis over at the corner.
Man, I seem like such a bitch when I talk about Swedish politics.
Final score, Warrington 12, Hull KR 31. There were tries for Russell and Thewlis. Conversions, Thewlis kicked 2 from 2. Referee was Aaron Moore. Attendance was 9972. Now, in the little intro to the highlights there, I mentioned, could Wire get it up? And that was due to the fact that the music was Viagra Boys. Now, you went a few weeks ago, Dennis. How were the Viagra Boys?
They were very, very good. I've actually just made a little asterisk for myself to say, wow, he's using some decent music for a change.
Master London.
Master London's in charge. Excellent. Yeah, the Viagra Boys, absolutely very good. Showing a bit of, he could play in the front row as well, the lead singer, if you have a look at some of the pictures I sent through. Just one thing to pull up on. Is Paul Vaughan now involved with some cows or something? He said he's he pulled his calf out or something. Is that right? Did you say that right? I'm struggling to hear.
I pulled a calf out at the Cheshire Show last year. They had a replicated, I think I sent it to you on a picture.
Oh, yes.
You had to pull it out with a rope. It was good.
Yeah.
Enjoyed that. Mm. Yeah. Check its windpipe when it comes out. Clear away all the residual. And it was good. It's good. Mm. Right. Well, I mean, let's have a look at the statistics because this really does tell a story, Sam, I think.
Yes.
Oh, meters, 858 for Wire, 1,200 for Hull KR. We didn't even win on kicks from hand meters. Wire 390, Hull KR 522. It was all the way down. Possession, we did win the possession 53% to 47%. Again, runs from dummy half. We did run twice from dummy half because we brought on young Hartill and he made two runs from dummy half, but they made six. Yeah, not good. Mm-hmm. Not good. Can't win a game of rugby league with stats like that, especially when you're playing Hull KR.
Yeah, and we had a weakened team out. We're not playing that well, and we had a weakened team out. And I thought, once again, effort was there, but we're lacking any cut through, aren't we? And we're just not making regular meters. And missing Danny Walker at the play the ball, because Sam Powell just isn't going from dummy half. I looked up, he's played 13 games so far this year, 13 appearances, and obviously last few weeks he's been playing most of the games. Two runs all season from dummy half. Two.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because I was driving along the other day and the NRL was on the radio and they go in depth, so in depth, and they were criticising one of the teams, can't think which one it was, someone who's at the bottom. The average runs from dummy half in an NRL game is 5. And this team were only running 4.2. And they all said, you can't possibly win a game of NRL running 4.2. I felt like ringing in and saying, how about zero? Try zero. Apparently, Melbourne run the most from dummy half. The lad at Melbourne is running 6.2 times a game from dummy
Harry
half.
Harry Grant.
And they were just saying just how much it alleviates the forward. You know, you get on the front foot. Everything about it leads to more meters and more possession, etc. And we're not even running from dummy half.
But also, for me, it's not so much that he's not running from dummy half, it's the knock-on effect that the defence then knows the ball's being passed. There's not even a feint to possibly run. So they only have to defend one thing, which is the pass away from the ruck.
I was impressed with Powell last year. I thought Powell was a good standout last year. I thought he brought a bit of that Wigan steel into the team.
Mm.
But he's fallen away. He's too old and they've given him another contract.
Mm. Well,
He's too slow. He can't run from acting halfback because he's embarrassed to run from acting halfback.
I think he's been found out for me, not so much because he's not doing what he did last year, but he's been asked to do long minutes. And then instead of coming on for the last 10 minutes of the first half or the last 15 minutes of the game when the game's a bit broken and he can show a bit of class, he's coming on from the start, and that's where, his legs are being found out, or his lack of speed.
Yeah, you say this, though, but is this not coaching? I mean, surely you would sort of, I mean, it almost feels like, oh, we're not going to be running from dummy half today, lads. I mean, surely you would encourage that, because we know the positives that come along with running from dummy half. So why would you not say, look, I want you to at least get two in?
You would think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but he's surely experienced enough and he's won enough to play the game with his head up. If he sees a gap, he's going to go for it. Surely he's not going to say, oh, I'm going to turn that opportunity.
He clearly isn't.
Down.
I mean, he didn't play in this game. That's why we had two runs from dummy half, because it was Hartle and Crowther in the... I think Dennis is perfectly right. Okay, he should have the knowledge to know that he should do it, but if he's not doing it, the coach should be having a word, because they're full-time, right? They go in every day.
Yeah.
So you think they possibly have time to practice this. Burgess should be saying, oi, put in a couple of runs from dummy half. I don't care if you go forward or not. You're still alluding to the fact that the defence is coming up and they may have to tackle you.
Yes.
I think that is incompetence at a coaching level.
And I think that you see that in that Hartell as well, because I reckon he is a natural running from dummy half.
Yeah.
And I know it's the sort of thing that you learn because, like, you know, Daryl Clark was probably one of the best at that, looking at when the best opportunity was to, or it still does, run from dummy half. And I think it's a case of letting Hartell get a bit more. He's like a Danny Walker clone.
I think one of the tries did come from his run from dummy. I think he did run from dummy half in that second half, and we actually scored from it very quickly afterwards. Who is, and maybe it's more on the second game, but who does the meters? Because I think Wood makes more meters every week than they put him down for.
They all wear these GPS gadgets, don't they?
Has he put it on wrong? Because we get lots of comments on social media. When we put out the stats for Wood, everyone criticises it and says it's wrong.
There's a guy on, I think it's Facebook, and he basically just copies and pastes your stats and passes them off as his own. So I think I might start going to him and saying, where are you getting these stats from? Let's not gloss over something. I mean, there's a picture behind me, but there was a star of the show. Who got a try, was there not? God. I mean, Dan Russell's got a try. I've been betting on him all year. I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't bet on him in this one. I bet him on
you went,
the next
you went
one
for
when
Luke
he wasn't
Yates.
Playing.
And it wasn't the first try of the game. I was so wishing it was the first try of the game because he'd bet on Luke Yates. Beautiful pass by Curry. Beautiful pass. We do miss that in the halves. Someone who can just draw a man and just put a simple ball through. You know, we've had Andy Gregory used to do it, like with his eyes shut. But yeah, I thought that was a lovely pass by Curry to put Russell through.
What's making Hull KR a good team at the moment?
Well, okay, so they've got so much balance across the field. They have recruited superbly. Everyone they have recruited works. Every time you see them come with a new recruit, it works. They are so fluid on both left and right. It doesn't matter when you watch them, you can never pick which way they're setting up to go. They run from acting halfback. They're constantly running from acting halfback. And they've got two beautifully gifted centres. Hiku is a joy to watch. He delays the pass. And he just, they don't know what to do with him. The Warrington are backpedalling. They're also offside half the game. They come up so quickly and they get away with it because the referees don't enforce it. So they're coming up so quickly as well. Then they've got Mikey Lewis, who is a real jack-in-the-box. All over the park. I mean, they make the Burgess lad on the wing look like a world beater. He came out to the Roosters and he couldn't get in the reserve team. But over there, he's doing his job. He scores in the corner. Everything, they are so well coached, so well coached.
It's the culmination of 3 years, though, isn't it? It's not just happened this year. They were good last year.
Yeah.
We just fell short against them at their ground. We were much more, but they've moved on a little bit further again,
and
we've gone back a bit.
We've recruited appallingly. Yeah. Who's playing at Wembley? Who will be playing at Wembley that we recruited in the off season?
Yeah, well, I guess the only chance would be Dan Russell, wouldn't it?
Right.
He's got a try under his belt now. So
if Fitzgibbon doesn't make it,
yeah, that Wigan and Hull KR are so far ahead of everyone else that they are. The rest of the competition has fallen away. Maybe Leeds, given a bit more time, will come along, and Saints have got a lot of youth, but they're a beautiful side to watch. And again, in this game, they took us apart on both sides. We were at sixes or sevens down both flanks. They walked over.
I've basically likened this. It's all been very vanilla, the last sort of few games and the other games. It's just really fucking boring.
The whole season has been put... When have we played well this season? And if we've got to Wembley off the back of just beating Widnes at Widnes, a very underperforming St. Helens team, and we beat Lee. That's it. And we are now eighth in the table at the moment.
And yet, I do agree with you that Saints are poor compared to Saints of recent years. But that performance for us was a connected performance, and the performance against Lee, I mean, Lee are not great. I fully understand that. They're not great, but again, it was probably our best or most complete 80 minutes of the season so far. So although I take your point that we've not had to beat Wigan away or Hull KR away, we're sort of going to have to this week. they're not awful teams, and we have produced two good, not outstanding, but good performances in those two games, which is what we've not done week in, week out in the league.
So not two outstanding performances, but two good performances over 16 games of rugby league.
Very vanilla, isn't it? Do you know vanilla has got 35% alcohol in it?
Have you been leading up to that for the last 10 minutes?
Yeah, I just thought I'd have a quick look. I have now come across some other vanilla facts, and one other's caught my eye. The Victorians used it as an aphrodisiac.
Oh.
And maybe we should all be sniffing vanilla or doing whatever it is with it. Apparently the word originates from the Spanish vanilla, meaning little pod, from vagina.
Lovely.
Yeah. Anyway, vanilla araglypta. That's all I had on our walls when I was younger. Did you have a vanilla araglypta on your walls?
We were south of the river, Dennis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's all flat.
Here's Sam Burgess post-match.
They're a hard team to break down regardless, and we're missing so many, creative players. So it's always going to be hard to score points, but we were pretty close a couple of times down there. We had plenty of ball down there as well. So we never I know it's hard to attack when you're in the ten. It's really hard, and we're probably too close at times. So but again, the effort was really good. Really pleasing. It sets us up really well now for the next couple of weeks.
Now I tried to put that through Google Translate, but it couldn't pick up on the accent. I was going to transcribe it. Wouldn't do it.
Your glasses not do it.
No. Whose microphone is it? Because I couldn't hear a fucking word. All a mumble jumble.
It's just getting slightly broken, that post-match interview. You know, like we've had them over the years, and Steve Price, who were like, oh, fucking hell, here we go again. How many times can he repeat himself? I just feel Mr. Burgess is just running out of excuses. It's just starting to creep in those post matches.
I wish I was in there.
He's doing it tough. Or the team are doing it tough at the minute, aren't they? It's not. Last year, everything went well. This year, hardly anything is going well by comparison.
Yeah.
Is there anything positive that you two can think that we've got out of this? I mean, I've got a couple of things. Philbin has started running with a bit of aggression all of a sudden.
Yes,
he has started. Yeah. Curry is actually playing well.
Indian summer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Curry.
Yeah.
That fits in, doesn't it, with Curry, Indian summer, somehow?
Yes,
it does. Very good.
Yeah.
And today's Curry dish is
It's a curry, mat maro.
Have you two got any positives?
Well, I've deleted it now. I'm going a little bit against social media. Now I've got my Meta glasses. I don't need social media. So I've deleted my Instagram account. Not that I only had two friends anyway. And then when I went to delete it, I saw that Sam Sankey had sent me an invite about 4 years ago by the looks of it. But I don't use it, don't you? So I've got rid of that. What finished me off was the 40-20 lounge video that they put up this week of some bloke trying the meals in the 40-20 lounge. And it was supposed to be all posh, and he was holding his fork in his right hand. I thought, I'm not going in there with that riff-raff.
If we're looking for straws to clutch at,
yeah,
I think the last month or so, Vaughan looks like he's woken up again and is really
playing
for another contract.
It.
Yeah, Curry, yeah, playing well but forced into the position where he's got to play at half back. If I'm looking for another silver lining, it's that after this week, and then we play Leeds away, which I think will be tough after the cup final, because either we'll be depressed and broken or we'll be pissed until Tuesday.
Oh, excellent. Yeah.
It'll be one of those two, won't it?
Yeah.
But after that, we're playing Huddersfield, Salford, Catalans, Castleford, Catalans again, Huddersfield and Salford again.
Ah.
So we're playing those seven out of our last 12 games.
Can't wait to get up at 5 a.m. to watch those.
So the positive is that we're playing all the shit clubs. That's what you're saying there, Sam.
Round 12 results, Lee 12, Hull 26, Huddersfield.
Excuse me. You promised faithfully.
Yes. I haven't had time. I promise. Well, we'll get on to the fact I'm going on holiday for 7 months after this, but we will get there eventually. We'll get there.
Okay.
I'll find a helium balloon on my travels and we'll do one. Lee 12, Hull 26, Huddersfield 4, Saints 46, Castleford 6, Leeds 29, Catalans 0, Wigan 48, and Wakefield 72, and the magic of Daryl Powell, Salford 10.
Mm. What a shit round of results that is, eh? It's awful, isn't it? It's fucking pointless.
What is the point of Huddersfield and Salt? What is the point?
Well, I've got a question for Sam, right? I've thought about this. Salford are going to go under, aren't they, basically?
Yes.
Yeah. So what happens then? Do we just get a week off and then they nullify all the previous results? So in fact, we don't even have to play for a week and get a nice two-week break.
I might watch that one.
During COVID, if you did not fulfil your fixture, I'm sure this is still the case, if you can't fulfil your fixture, it's an automatic 30 points to nil win for the opposition.
Oh, no.
Which that's in a way, us. Wouldn't help us because everyone else is scoring 70 against them. So it would be, I think, I can't quite remember what happened to Toronto. I think they stripped out all those results. If memory served, I think they stripped all those results out. Whereas if they get close to the end of the season, I would imagine the results will stand and the teams yet to play them would get a 30-0. But I'm just guessing.
In reality, we'll get a week off, basically.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We'd need it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that might be quite good. Oh, and if we're playing them twice, do we get 2 weeks off?
Correct.
So we get 2 weeks off. That's handy, isn't it?
So the highlight of this podcast is just basically discussing when we get 2 weeks off against Salford.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks off the podcast as well, Rob. Eh?
Yes, come on. Round 13, Castleford at home. The team was Dufty, Josh Thulis, Ty Lindop, Jake Thulis, Ratchford Sneed, Yates, Powell and Vaughan in the front row, Fitzgibbon, Holroyd and Curry. Interchange bench was Harrison, Wood, Philbin and Hartill. So, could Wye get back to winning ways and bang their drum again? Here's the highlights.
She's snorting cocaine every other weekend. She's partly insane, she's my drummer's girlfriend.
To his left and right, but he's gone for the long one out to Sneed, right hand side. This will go out towards Thulis, who's got himself some space in the corner.
Ripping up on a city park.
Dufty quickly, quick hands again, and on the left side this time it's Jake Thulis who gets himself on the score sheet. Offloaded to the right hand side, touch through from Ratchford. They might get this down here with Roderick Ty.
She's always backstage with a couple rock bands. She's always passed.
Milnes looking for the dab down for Lawler. And I think he's got this one here, George Lawler.
She's probably insane. She's my drummer's girlfriend.
Powell goes to short side to side. Buffy in towards Lindop. Lindop will dab this one down. Again, Castleford, chip over the top from Sneed and Philbin, Curry rather.
Drinks, but she's pouring water.
dummy half, goes for the short side. Milnes misses out the pass and finds Laurel again. She says she won't sleep till the music drops down. Singleton will eat some more meters up before they get it out to the left-hand side for Innes Senior. And the cat could be among the pigeons now. She's not in cocaine every other weekend. She's probably insane. She's my drummer's girlfriend. Bourne, lovely offload from him. Lovely little offload from Duffy. Finds Ratchford. Stefan Ratchford. My drummer's girlfriend. I see. Lawler, lovely hands this. They're still going here. Castleford, Atkin going for the line. She's snorting cocaine every other weekend. She's partly insane. She's my drummer's girlfriend. Happy with that music, Dennis? What are you giving that one?
Yeah. That's not as good, but still a bit edgy. So it's still in the same sort of format. So pass the thanks on to James for sorting that out. Yeah. What time did you get up to watch this one, Rob?
Well, it was a 5 a.m. So I did set my alarm, woke up, put it on. I think the first try was 7 minutes and we had a bit of a kerfuffle with the video ref again. And I fell back to sleep. And I didn't watch it at all. And all I did was watch the tries the other day. That was it. I've really lost any will to watch Warrington this season. I've just watched, I think it was State of Origin on the Wednesday or something. Fucking ridiculous.
God, that was tough.
The speed of that game. And then you turn that on and it's like, and also what didn't help was the bloody commentary. Can we send Kevin Brown for elocution lessons? I mean, anyone that lives outside a 30-mile radius of the M62 just thinks they've fucking tuned into some kind of Last of the Summer Wine comedy.
Sky have got an Australian commentator now. Have they had one, in the last couple of weeks.
Yes,
I don't know his name.
He did,
Right,
good. But I'm sure he's commentating in the NRL. I recognise his voice a bit, so... There's a bit of a change there. I think he's paired up with John Wells, so it meant fuck all. It was unbalanced anyway.
I'd like to see the stats. You know, how many knock-ons there are in a game, and also how many times Kevin Brown drops his H during commentary. I think he'd win the stats every week. Oh, he's infuriated. My family can't understand what he says. They can't. I say him and what's the other one? Who's the one that's the one that had all his teeth done from Leeds. What was his name? The one that,
Jamie Jones Buchanan.
Mrs. London can't understand. Mrs. Waywell can't understand either. James Jones Buchanan or whatever his name. Put him and Kevin Brown together.
I think he has had his braces removed now, so I don't know if he's any clearer.
Oh, God, it's just... What's
happened? What has happened to this season? Because I can see Rob has. I know he'd switched off weeks ago, if I'm honest. But are you feeling any positivity out of this season, or do you just think it's a bag of shit? I mean, what's your thought?
Are you talking about Warrington or Super League?
Not necessarily Warrington, just like, the season, the league and whatever.
I think we've just... gone even worse than last year in that the bottom three clubs are awful. And that's saying something. That's saying something when we're having a poor season. But when you've got Huddersfield and Salford and now Catalans, so they're not bottom three yet, but just atrocious yet. Play.
When I turned it on, I thought there'd been a bomb scare because one end of the ground was completely... Like, there was no one behind the sticks, one end of the ground. What happened there? What, they just Castleford haven't got anyone to bring?
No, they moved them into the north stand, to be fair, but it was only a relatively small crowd, yes.
Yeah, Sam can't say much because he's too busy getting pissed in Henley-on-Thames anyway, so...
How is Henley-on-Thames, Sam? How is it? Is it nice?
For those people trying to build a picture... If you could supplant a nice river with riverside walks and people rowing on it.
Yes,
Mersey.
If you could change that, if you could put that instead of the Manchester Ship Canal, then Henley-on-Thames is not much different to Stockton Heath, to be fair. Oh. Just a different accent. Just different accents. But I'd had myself and Mrs. Sankey, we'd shared a beautiful bottle of Albarino at the boathouse overlooking the Thames. We had some scallops and some oysters. But that didn't really work because on the way back, we stopped for another drink and ended up being talked at by some southerners for a long while.
Oh, very nice. Final score, by the way, was Warrington 34, Castleford 24. There were tries for the brothers Thewlises, Ty, Lindop, Curry, and Ratchford scored on his 350th appearance following a lovely forward pass from Dufty. He also kicked a goal. Sneed kicked 4 from 5. Referee was Marcus Griffiths. Attendance was 8,625.
Can we take a moment then, please, just to mention Ratchford? We've had a bit of a... We know he's one of my poster boys. We've had a bit of a go at him last couple of years because he is slow now and he is towards the end of his career. But even in Super League, to play 350 games, 93 tries, 648 goals. And before that, he played 108 times for Salford. So he's played over 450 games. He's been a great servant.
Mm. Mm. What's he made of?
Good player.
Can we get his genetic DNA? Because he doesn't get injured much, does he?
No, because he's flexible. He's not overbulked. He's flexible. Ah. Mm. Just look how flexible that nose has been.
I had an x-ray at the dentist this week. And it all got a bit sort of, bit of a commotion and led to three dentists all being in the room looking round my x-ray. And I was like, this doesn't sit down. And then they pulled me in and they said, we've never seen anything like it. What is that filling made of?
Oh, have you got one of the nice mercury?
It was Mr. Shaw in Museum Street in Warrington had stuck it in when I was about 11. And I said, well, it's still there, isn't it? And they couldn't comprehend what it was made of. It was something from like olden times. They were all fascinated. He'd put some kind of like mattress in first on the nerve, and then he'd laid it with two other layers of compound that they couldn't work out what it was. They were all very excited. But they were like looking at it as if it was like some, you know, it was like Time Team. Wasn't that? It was like...
You had Shaw there, did you? I had Mr. Oliver. Yeah.
This is how bad it's got. We're discussing dentists now.
Going to Mr. Shaw when I was about 8 or 9, something like that. And it was this young, sprightly Scottish man in the room. And then I must have gone about 10 years ago. I was in Warrington or something. And I thought, I'll just pop in because it's free, isn't it, over there, where it's like $4 billion to have your teeth done here. So I went back in and this frail old man greeted me. And it was Mr. Shaw. And I thought, fucking hell, he's been in that room 35 years looking at people's teeth.
Nice. Remember that teacher we had at college, Mr. Halitosis? And he had an absolutely stinking breath.
He'd be dead now.
He had bad.
All our lecturers, Dennis, would be dead now. It's not one of them.
All right, here we go. Right. Anyway, getting back to the game, if you remember, Dufty, he did all right, didn't he? I want to bring this up now, but I just need to find it again. I was having a look earlier on of Man of Steel, and I thought, oh, are they still doing that? And I had a look at the top ones. So do you want to know, Matt Dufty is our top Man of Steel guy. Do you have a guess what position he is out of fifth? Oh, it's quite a big list. 26. Out of 126, where's our Warrington player Man of Steel? What number?
It's quite ironic. Matt Dufty should be our number one Man of Steel. That's what they make. Certain
Sheffield.
Shape. Sheffield, yeah.
Oh, well, it's not in the top 10 because I've actually got it up in front of me.
Oh, you're cheating. Yeah. 19th.
19th.
Oh, I was going to say 17th then. That would have been a good guess.
Who's top?
Fucking hell.
Oh, you like him, don't you, Sam?
Who's top?
Jake Connor.
Oh, that's because he's is he where's he play who's he play for now?
Leeds.
You have to play in like a pretty bang average side, don't you, to stand out for Man
And then
of
you can
Steel.
stand out week in, week out.
The
Yes,
whole
yeah.
The whole system is warped. Shouldn't be called Man of Steel. It should be called Mr. Fucking Standout. That's what it should be called.
I don't know how it works, but yeah, that makes a sense because Caesar is fourth, and that's Huddersfield. So, isn't it?
It's not much in their salad, is there?
Is he playing for the Huddersfield now, or is he playing
What's
for Leeds?
happened to the Burgess lad who was playing for Huddersfield that they signed a like 7-year contract? Is he playing or has he just given up? Where's he?
Yeah, we dodged a bullet there, didn't we?
Yeah.
Bullets. That was last year, Sam.
T Burgess, 124th with 1 point.
Yeah.
There you go. Have we got anything to say? By the way, I'd also wrote Castleford. Shit. So, I mean, they weren't very good. So we were playing pretty poor opposition this week.
We need to look at this. Wood, 55 metres. Bullshit.
Yes.
Bullshit.
he ran for 70.
He ran for 70 on one break.
Yeah. It's not working, is it?
Hey, I tell you what, it was the Hulk AR game where Ty missed a shocking tackle, Sam. I thought you'd have brought that up, but you didn't bring that up. Couldn't be asked, could you?
No.
Couldn't be asked. So did you give your season ticket to anyone, Sam, or just vacant seat?
There was no takers. Simon. I gave it to Simon in case he wanted to take his son along, and I think his son decided he'd rather stay in.
Has anybody got any positives from the Castleford game?
Wood. Thought he ran Wood. Hard. Thought he ran yeah. hard. Playing for a place at Wembley.
The Castleford kit, when I looked on my phone halfway through the first half, was very bright. That was very bright.
Good, isn't it? Yeah. Here's Sam Burgess post-match.
Oh, God. I couldn't hear this either.
Well, I just thought we stuck to the plan. You know, we had a lot of ball. We had a lot. We controlled the possession well. And, you know, Cass had a couple of errors early and we've made some points on it, and then I thought some of our parts of our defence looked much better. We fell off a bit in the second half, but it'll give us something to work on through the week. It's an exciting week for us all, so we're looking forward to that now.
This isn't going well, is it?
Oof. Round 13 results: Huddersfield 24, Lee 28, Hull KR 34, Saints 4, Salford 6, Wigan 46. Leeds 22, Wakefield 18, Catalans 0, Hull 34. Catalans have lost their last five games and haven't scored in their last three, conceding 122 points. It's not since Matt Banana's left, it's not gone well.
No.
Well, have they just gone on strike like the French do? Is that what's happened there? gone on strike for the summer.
And then they'll be on holiday in the first 2 weeks of August when I'm there. I'll go to a restaurant and he'll just say, sorry, we're closed.
The table looks like this. Hull KR are out on top. They've got 24 points. They've got a win ratio of 92%. Wigan in second on 22. Leeds on third on 18. Lee fourth, 17. Hull fifth on 15. And Saints make up the top six on 14 points with a 54% winning ratio. We are down in eighth. On 12 points with a 46% winning ratio. And then all the way down at the bottom, Huddersfield and Salford have an 8% winning ratio, both on 2 points. Catalans are falling down the table, but can't really fall much further because it's just a bag of shit on the bottom.
There's going to be some excitement. There's going to be some excitement. On our mini pod, whenever it is.
Yeah.
I will bring to you my updated Mystic Meg forecast for the end of the year, because I think it's going to end St. Helens with 30 points, Warrington 30 points, Hull 29, Lee 29, Wakefield 28. More of that to come.
You're still predicting we're going to get 30 points when we're on 12?
Yeah, because we've got 14 points there against Huddersfield, Salford. That's assuming... That's assuming we don't break nine other legs. Yeah. Huddersfield, Salford, Catalans, Cask, Catalans, Huddersfield, Salford. It's 14 points there.
You thought okay. Going into politics, Sam? Thought maybe that might be you.
Good
you
spin.
Know, in the opposition, yeah. Spin doctor.
Is anybody tuned into this podcast this week looking for some highlights of excitement and insight?
Some upbeat, upbeat preview of the Challenge Cup final.
Come on, Rob. Turn it round.
We've got nothing. Well, I'm going to start packing today. I'm about to get the suitcases out of the garage. I'm going to pack today.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have to check them for spiders?
Yeah. Yeah, will. Yeah. Yeah.
What about snakes?
Snakes, yeah. There's a nice python next door. Doesn't come onto our property that much, but it's a good 12-footer. Hangs around.
Mm.
But, yeah, get the odd funnel web in the pool. But no, that's it. I had a brown snake jump out at me once when I was out for a run. It was a long time ago.
That was a few years ago, wasn't it?
I was going to say, are we still talking about Rob? right, well, I suppose there's nothing else other than to think about going to London.
Samuel, can you believe it? We're in the capital, Buckingham Palace, the Tower of London, Big Ben. Oh, and 50,000 uneducated northerners heading down the M1, you know, to visit the half-empty stadium for a mediocre game of rugby league. Yes, the only vegetable this lot will see on their trip is probably the gherkin. Oh, who'd have thought, Samuel? You'd flute your way to Wembley just when the Australian media are paying attention. I could see you would be the coach of the Bears before they've had time to shit on the woods.
Oh, the boys are loving it down here, Rolfo. Taking in all the sights.
Yes, although it was rather embarrassing, Samuel, when they mistook Sam Powell as a lifeless waxwork at Madame Tussauds.
I know, Rolfo. I'm at my wick's end.
Oh, and as far as Ollie Leyland taking his morning swim in the Trafalgar Square fountain, why, he bent over that far for those Japanese tourists. They took a picture thinking it was the London Eye.
I know, and that pigeon shat all over Lachlan Fitzgibbon, thinking he was Lord Nelson with his arm in a sling.
Oh, tackle sacks.
But I do think, Ralpho, the visit to Abbey Road Studios yesterday will really help me finish off my second album. Although, I do admit, replicating George, Paul, Ringo and John walking across the zebra crossing did come with its challenges.
Oh, yes, but who'd have thought that by placing Matt Dufty, Dan Russell, Toby King and Matty Ashton in the line, that there would still be room to drive a red London bus between them?
Talking of buses, I've booked an open-top one for the lads to take in the sights of London this afternoon.
Oh, what an excellent idea, Samuel. Best get it out of the way. As I feel your current form, we won't be needing one in Warrington on Sunday.
Is it OK, Rolfo, if the team take in a West End show after the match?
Absolutely, Samuel. What were you thinking? Phantom of the Opera? Mamma Mia? Or Les Miserables?
No, Ralpho. I was thinking of booking tickets for Cats.
Oh, that's right, Sammy. Yeah, the way the part's been playing, they'll identify with the pride of little pusses. Oh, right. I'm off to Camden Market, see if I could find us a bargain, Sammy. I'd send our recruitment team, but they're bound to come back with any old shit.
By the way, have you seen Benny Westwood?
Oh, I do believe he's gone to Borough Market, Samuel. You know, to inflate his prices and sell his sausage baguettes for £25 a pop.
Bloody hell, there's certainly some money down south. If only the other fella put some cash behind the Broncos to attract a major sponsor in a city with influence rather than Salford.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Oh, yes. There's definitely a vibe in the air down there. You know, back in my youth, Samuel, I once dated a pearly queen that lived on Brian Carnaby Street.
Oh, how romantic, Ralpho. Did you give her a pearl necklace?
Sorry, Samuel. I was still talking about my romance in London, or Joe Westerman pulling out some pearly anal beads with his teeth behind a pistol last round the back of Greg's.
Oh, bloody hell, Alpha, bloody hell, what's that?
Oh, why, that'll be the ravens from the Tower of London, Samuel. The legend goes, should they fly off and leave the tower, the kingdom will fall. It's a bit like those fat pigeons that hang around the bins behind the Halliwell Jones, only in reserve. If one of those rats with wings takes to the air, Wire will win the Super League.
But I saw one eat half a pork pie last Thursday.
Exactly. Anyway. Not to worry, Samuel. You won't be the first or the last coach of Warrington to fail in your quest to land the ultimate prize. Think of it a bit like Buckingham Palace and the Monarch. You're our Lady Diana and the Happy Clappers People's Princess. But eventually, Samuel, your time at the Wells will end in a car crash. Mind the gap, Samuel. Mind the gap.
Time I said I was nervous all the way through that Steve was going to go somewhere with Kylie Minogue and I was going to get worried. This year I was all relaxed by the music at the start and I thought I'll just settle in for this.
Nice.
And you did it, didn't you? You couldn't resist just going filthy.
You're on about Lachlan Fitzgibbon and the pigeon, right? That's what you're
doing. Oh yes, that's yes. Correct. That's correct, yes.
I really like that one. I thought that was a good one.
Did you?
Well, we were down. Yeah, it was. You know, like it was that sort of episode where we're away on holiday. You know, it was like that.
Yeah. I liked the Madame Tussauds that Powell didn't move. I think that's topical at some point. Yeah.
What about Brian Carnaby Street? That was pretty good, wasn't it?
Five, four, three, two. One.
Tackle sacks. Go.
Well, tackle sacks. I mean, it's been really hard because it's all, like I keep mentioning about it being a bit vanilla, really. And, you know, looking at the team that was put out against Hull KR, was there anybody who really played badly? I mean, we keep picking on Sam Powell. So maybe we should just continue picking on Sam Powell. So I'm giving him some sag points this week. He's only going to get three this week. Because he just can't be arsed running from dummy half. But I'm also going to give Burgess 3 points because you should tell him to run from dummy half. It's not hard to do with the coaching. And I'll also give, because I realised he was on it, Gleeson gets 3 points because if Burgess hasn't told him, then Gleeson needs to tell him to run from dummy half. So they're all the sack points I'm going to give this week, boys, in terms of what it looks like. But I'd be very interested to see if you want to contribute to any players that you feel need to go on the sack points and watch and whatever. I'll just give you the top players, well, people. Fitzpatrick's still out there on 36, given a lot of points by Rob early days for not recruiting. Curry got 19 points. He was playing pretty poorly early doors, but actually shouldn't really deserve to be second. Sam Powell's in third, Philbin's in fourth, Ratchford fifth, and the video ref has made an entry at sixth after Rob got completely lambastic all about Ben Thaler the other week. So, Sam, do you want to give us some...
Yeah, if we're allowed to give the video ref some sag points, are we allowed to give whoever's in charge of the Opta stats and Woods GPS some sag points?
Yes, I suppose so. Who is it? Just add it to the list.
Mr. Opta.
Mr. Opta. How many? And why?
What do we think? Go, just remind me of what's mid-range shit.
Mid-range is mid-match shit show. 4 to 6 sag points.
Oh, well, 5 then.
Enough times that people are starting to notice weak tackles, avoiding penalty. Avoidable penalties, passes that wouldn't fit, and all that lot. So you're having five
then, yeah.
Why? Why? Have you had to do some work?
Because clearly it's not correct, according to Twitter.
Right. Twitter. Is that it?
Or according to X.
Right. Mm. Very vanilla. Always go for that sort of, like, you know, middle of the ground. Rob, have you got any points you'd like to allocate?
5 points to Kevin Brown.
What for?
5 points to that bloke who held his fork in his right hand on the 40-20 ad. And 1 point to Roderick Tye for missing that appalling tackle again in Hull KR. Give that. Mm. And then 30 points to Super League because it's shit.
God, that nearly puts him in the league. Well, that completes the tackle sags for this week. It looks like straight in at number two, Super League gets in there, but nobody's going to argue with that. Just one player I'd like to put on sag watch. Luke Yates. We're all still waiting for him to break a tackle. I don't think we've seen him break a tackle in 2025. So he's on sag watch. If he fails to break a tackle, he goes into top absolute dog shit, 10 to 13 points next week. So that's what we'll be looking out for. In terms of tackle bags, I've got three suggestions that I'd like the patrons to sort of suggest and pick one with their chance to win one of our famous Tackle Sags t-shirts. So the three topics this week is pitch sponsorship, mitigation one-arm bandit, and Man of Platinum. Slightly a different one to Man of Steel. So we'll look at that in the next time. So any thoughts on any topics or anything? Or are you just that?
Just on the T-shirts, can people refrain from putting them in the washing machine or the tumble dryer? My advice is lukewarm water with half a cup of conditioner. Put them in just for a second and then stretch as much as you can for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Before hanging
Thanks
them up.
For that. Yeah.
Predictions.
We can predict the future. didn't you? Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
OK, it's time to take a look at the Challenge Cup final, with Wyatt taking on Hull Kingston Rovers at Wembley this Saturday. The stage is set with the traditional 3 p.m. kickoff. Opening the day, though, at 11:45 a.m, will be the Ladies' Cup final between Saints and Wigan, and closing the afternoon, the 1895 Cup, with Featherstone Rovers and York Knights taking part. Before we predict, here's Hal with his bucket.
Well, well, well. This is it then. Burgess's last throw of the dice. Could there be a greater dichotomy from Wembley winners to ninth in the Super League table? Will Big Sam fall into a bucket of shit and come out smelling of primroses, or will he just come out smelling of shit? He's 80 minutes away from securing a contract with the Perth Bears. Or perhaps, 80 minutes away from him leaving, ironically, with the Bear coaching essentials. Strap in everyone. And abide with me.
Eggs all in one basket, Sam? Or with the fact that you're predicting we're going to end up with 57 points, I guess the season's not over yet.
The season isn't over yet, but...
Orange alert.
Caveat detected.
Orange alert. Orange alert.
If we can pull off a win here... Everything's going to feel a whole lot better than if we get stuffed, isn't it? I mean, that's just fact. That's
Are
just
you going?
Fact.
Are you going?
I am going.
Yeah. Are you in the Wembley ring?
I'm in. Yes. Mm. I'm in the Wembley ring, wherever you're leading that conversation to.
How big is the rim at Wembley these days? Is most people rimming, or are they mainly in the bottom bit?
15,000, I think, in the rim.
Okay. Mm. I see we've sold less than 10,000 tickets.
Have we? Really?
Yeah. Hull KR have sold 15,000. They're expecting a 60,000.
Hang on. I didn't think the club was selling them. We've bought ours via the Rugby League website.
I don't know.
Did you get your facts off Mr. Opta there, Robert? Is that what happened?
You're not driving, though, are you? You're not being roped.
I am driving.
You are. Bloody hell. Yeah. That's commitment.
Yeah. I know.
Are you going, Dennis? Are you going?
What?
So, do you want to know a couple of things?
Did you say John to Road then?
Do you want to know a couple of things before you make your prediction?
Yes.
Yes,
this could sway me. Definitely sway me.
This could sway you. So, as you're probably aware, Warrington have won the cup 9 times, Hull KR once.
Yes. Yeah. He's got this from the Warrington Guardian website, by the way, because I know exactly where he's got this from.
No, I haven't. I've Rugby League Project. Thank you very much. I trust them more. So, did the Guardian say that our first ever cup final win, we won against Hull KR 6-0.
Some massive pop-up came up for a stair lift. Couldn't see it.
This year, Warrington have played 17 games, won 10, scored 357, conceded 355, so basically an average of scored 21, conceded 21. Mm. Meanwhile, Hull KR have scored 540 for an average of 32 and conceded just 146 for an average of almost 9 per game. So this looks like a very one-sided match.
There's still time to pull out, Sam, probably.
You don't have to drive all that way.
We're going to win on Saturday. If King and Fitzgibbon play and they're fit, we will win this match.
Which King isn't fit and Fitzgibbon will go off after 20 minutes. But yeah, carry on. Yep.
So I think, reliant on that, we're going to win this game. I'm full of confidence. I've got nothing to hang my hat on as to why, but we are going to win this match.
So, well, you can have a bet then. We're going to bet on this. And we don't normally bet on the cup, but I think we should bet on this. Mm-hmm. So what are you going for?
I'm going
They're 2-1.
£20, Warrington to win.
Right. And first try of the game, not Warrington's first try scorer. Has to be a Warrington player.
Dufty.
And how much are you in on that?
Just a couple of quid.
Just a couple of quid. That's £22 down the drain. Okay.
I wish I knew if Dan Russell was playing. I think actually he's probably rested last week, ready for the Wembley final. So I'm going to go £5 Dan Russell and £5 Warrington win.
Right. Our only weapon is Sneed. Sneed is our only weapon. I don't believe Williams is fit. I don't believe King is fit. I don't believe Fitzgibbon will last the pace. I don't believe you can win a game of rugby league by not running from acting halfback. I don't believe you can win a game playing against the most competent and well-coached team in the competition. I will go Hull KR, £150 win.
All in. How much have you got? That'll only leave you with £18 if you lose.
Well, it's not happening, is it? I'll have a pound on Aaron, just because he's my mate. So yeah. There we go. All right, that's it.
I've got two words for you, Rob, just to counter the fact that you said that a competent team, an excellent team, the best team in the league at the moment, and we're playing shit. Sheffield Eagles.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask, do you think, would this be a bigger upset than when we beat Saints a few years ago?
I think it'd be similar.
Similar.
I think
they,
so.
I mean, they had no duty of care on, it was their fullback. What was his name? The one with it, was it Lachlan? Who was the lad who played fullback for Saints? He used to run the show at Saints. Coote. Was it Coote? Lachlan?
Oh, Coote? Lachlan Coote, yeah.
I mean, he played 70 minutes of that game, concussed, didn't know where he was, and they left him on the field. There's duty of care for you.
And if you remember, we also had Robert Hicks not going to the screen in what was probably a try.
Yeah. Which apparently, he didn't go to the screen for.
I do think, though, that Sam Burgess has got a chance of lifting his players. Only for the fact that I don't think his influence will matter too much, because the players will get a natural lift for playing at Wembley anyway. So it's not going to be down to Burgess. I think the stage of Wembley and everything can also freeze teams, and, you know, it can have like the favourite sort of, you know, doing silly things. So there's always a chance. I agree with you. I don't think George Williams and a couple of the others, I think if they've got any kind of, like, not, they're not 100%, then it's just a danger, isn't it, in this game?
Yeah.
Well, the big miss also is Matty Ashton. He can...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He can change a game by intercepting and going the length, and he's not there. And I just don't think this team has played. Every week there's been an excuse. We didn't recruit well. We're not coaching well. There's been clearly something went on in the camp the other week for Musgrove to go. It's not It's not a nice camp. It's not a good camp at the moment. It's not a good camp. Mm. So.
I agree with you completely, and all logic says this is a 16-point to 22-point win for Hull KR. All logic says that. I'm just going with hope rather than expectation.
Yeah. Right. Well, can I go and pack my cases?
Yes. Shake them first, in case there's any of those nasties in there.
Right. Big thank you to Sam for going to the old man's funeral today. Meant a lot. Thank you, mate. That was good. Mum was very touched.
She didn't recognise me.
I did tell her you were going, but, well, it's like Mr. Shaw, isn't it, the dentist?
Yeah, very much so. Very much so.
She's only just got home from the pub. Anything to add, Dennis? Are you going to be out in the field with your rods in the next few weeks?
Well, actually, I've got the climax of my dowsing, which I'll be walking around Glastonbury. I've decided to douse all the places that haven't been doused, which includes the Co-op on the High Street. I believe that a ley line runs through the bacon counter.
I did watch a bit of your last one on YouTube, and what's happened to your mate? He's got some kind of like comedy plaster on his arm. Yeah,
he fell off his motorbike. He's depressed, so I took him out on one of my walks.
Is it the arm? Is it the?
Yes, it's that one as well. 6 weeks. He's not been able to, you know.
They've almost set it though in a sort of wanking position.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was nice.
I did say that the girth was too big.
Yes, it looked like it. Yeah. Okay. Okay, that's it. I'm off on my holiday. So for the next 6 weeks, there'll be the occasional mini unplugged podcast from somewhere on my grand tour. So until then, as I soak up more classical art, architecture and languages, it's a Lord Byron goodbye from Sam.
All the best.
An aristocratic so long from Dennis.
Presino.
And it's a...
Have you got Sky Sports on the big screen here? Did you do Chips and Egg? You got Stella on tap.
Farewell from me. Come on the wire. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? Now, I am home for the whole game.
Fucking hell.
But the kid don't lie, never says a word. But he loved me in the